Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Shakes a tackle at the 25, and the race is on, and it's loose!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the game. Goes to Parham, jump ball, caught! Signal is touchdown!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The receiver did not maintain control of the ball throughout the process of the catch.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Son, let me tell you about the Chargers.
Today's guests from NBC Sports, Peter King, New Orleans Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan, plus NBC Sports broadcaster Mike Tirico. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host here live in our Los Angeles, California studio. I'm thrilled to be here after a dynamite sports weekend. A dynamite sports weekend that we knew was going to be paying off like Eddie Olczyk did by giving us the winners in the Breeders' Cup Classic that was on NBC. And then we had Clemson and Notre Dame play into overtime. How about them apples? That was fantastic. So it was delayed from New York Saturday night with Dave Chappelle. And that was fantastic. And then Sunday we saw Chase Elliott get crowned the NASCAR champion on NBC. And then Sunday Night Football, wrapping up a wild Sunday in the National Football League. Chris Brockman, good to see you over there.
Hey,
how
bud.
Are you, sir?
What's happening, man?
Your Patriots take on my Jets tonight. I will be showing up tomorrow dressed like Joe Flacco. No, I'm sorry. You get your dime store cam outfit ready for Tuesday's show.
I'm not going to do it anymore.
Why?
It's over. You guys are just making fun of it, and it's not fun.
Oh, come on, Chris.
It's not fun. You're making fun of it. I don't want it. Was supposed to be something fun.
I like it. Brockman,
you're not the endorsement I want.
What about me? I gave you props every day.
CJ Jefferson, ladies and gentlemen.
Kaboom, yeah. Guess who stepped in the room.
Don't, Chris, you're going to be 3-5 by the end of tonight. What are you all upset about?
Come on. I'm over.
What are you all so upset about?
It's over.
Oh, my gosh.
We had a good run.
He's just trying to surprise us. He's going to come in.
So, and Mike Del Tufo wearing the Notre Dame hat, the team that that represents the school that he adopted because
my
he certainly
sister
wasn't
went there, gonna, my nephew went there,
he certainly wasn't
going to
grow up
him.
There rooting for Rutgers in New Jersey.
And Rudy's the best movie ever.
They look great, and we'll be talking about it with Mike Tirico, who called that game on NBC and then flew to the Sunday Night Football Night in America studio to do what I did on game day morning and what all of us did on game day morning, what everyone else did on Football Night in America, and apparently what everybody else did around the rest of the country on their prognosticating moments for their pregame shows, and that was pick for the pick against the New Orleans Saints. How'd that work out?
Not great.
OMG. Oh, my gosh.
Talk about it.
OMG. That game was over 20 clock minutes in. That game was over. You could say that game was over about 15 clock minutes in. I mean, the Saints showed up with a game plan and a chip and played like they want this year's chip. They want to be back in that building celebrating. And I'll tell you what. It all clicked. All of it. From Drew Brees to Alvin Kamara to Michael Thomas to Emmanuel Sanders to name anybody on defense.
Number seven, Rich.
To Taysom Hill, Taysom of this, who had two passes, both complete, one reception for 21 yards, seven carries. They just hit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers atop the head repeatedly with a figurative football folding chair, and Tampa tapped out. They looked awful. No other way to put it. It's one of those that you just take the film and you bury it underneath the ground, Rex Ryan style, and try and move on. Move on to Carolina. That's what they've got to do. And they looked terrible in every facet of the game. I don't know where the hell that one came from. And I have, you know, nothing but kudos to New Orleans Saints fans and to the New Orleans Saints and Sean Payton
And Drew Brees, I mean, everybody brought it last night. And Brady looked lost. And that offense was, you can't even, I mean, it's an offense to the word sink to say they were out of it. And, you know, one nice catch by Antonio Brown over the middle to get you know, okay, this is, I guess, why they got him. But five rushes for 8 yards. Really nine, but Blaine Gabbert came in and took the knee. That's technically minus 1 yard and taking the knee to get out.
Technically a rush.
I've not really seen this. Less than a minute to go in the first half, the Saints had the ball back and took a knee on the half. Like, we're good. We're good. Yeah. You're going against Tom Brady. You're going against Tom Brady in his building. You get the ball with less than a minute to go in the half. You put points up on the board, man. Certainly since you know you're getting the ball back to start the second half, you do what Tom Brady and Belichick did for 20 years, which is score before the end of halftime, score after halftime, because that's the way you take a game over. But you don't have to do that when you're up 31-0. I've never seen that. Let's just go to the locker room, guys, because we've got this. They were starting to run the clock out before halftime.
Yeah. That's a wrap.
How often do you see that against Tom Brady or in the NFL period? Like, we're good here. Let's not get hurt. Let's begin to, you know, we get the ball so we can take more time off the clock after halftime. Oh, my gosh. Where the hell did that come from? Michael Thomas is back, and that is such a difference maker, and it just means so much to the rest of that offense. Because Taysom Hill is just a little cherry on top. He's just a different look as opposed to trying too hard to find something. That's how things change. Suddenly we're not talking about Breeze's arm strength. We're talking about him finding Adam Trautman in the end zone. He's a rookie tight end, third rounder this year. Amazing. Adam Trautman, I honestly nearly jumped out of my chair because I think that kid still owes me from canteen back in Camp Lokonda from bunk 12. That's what it sounds like. I was in bunk 12 with an Adam Trautman.
Hello, mother. Hello, father.
Seriously.
That's about right.
Found everybody. Everybody had to have their head on a swivel last night for the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, it's not going to work that way every week. But that was amazing. And now comes the midway point of the season because everybody's played at least half their schedule, and that will have happened as of tonight with the Patriots taking on the Jets, who, with a loss tonight, will get the second half of the season straight off on the right foot. Because the way everything else broke yesterday, only Jacksonville's a game behind them. Everybody else has more than one win in the NFL. Where the any given Sunday, well, yesterday was that given Sunday. The old any given Sunday, yesterday was that Sunday. Because in addition to watching New Orleans beat the Buccaneers and beat Tom Brady up in a manner that he's never been beaten up. And later on in this show, I will give you every metric as to just how rare that win last night was. I've got a whole bunch of stats. But not just that. Saints dominated. The Steelers and Chiefs barely pulled victory out of the jaws of defeat against Gilbert Great and the Dallas Cowboys, who looked very stout yesterday.
Coming around.
And kudos to them, and I should mention his name. I know I'm having fun. Garrett Gilbert played his ass off yesterday. Better than Dalton and DiNucci did, that's for sure. And that kid from the Orlando Apollos nearly pulled it off yesterday. And the Steelers, for the third straight week, stay undefeated, even though their opponent had the ball either on their foot or in their quarterback's hand with no time left to win it. Gostkowski missed the field goal for Tennessee. Lamar Jackson was picked by Minka Fitzpatrick last week, and this week Minka Fitzpatrick broke up the pass. 8-0 Pittsburgh for the first time in its illustrious history. And then the Chiefs, Carolina gets Christian McCaffrey back, and Teddy Bridgewater looks like Lamar Jackson. And, you know, Joey Sly had another one from his own side of the field
so
to try and win it. And that came up short. But the Chiefs are 8-1. And Patrick Mahomes is amazing. Tyreek Hill, 2 touchdowns. Travis Kelce's out of his mind. And the Panthers, I'll tell you what, man, for down the road, look, you don't want to be the best 3-6 team in the NFL, but they probably are. Lamar Jackson had his first comeback win from a halftime deficit ever in his career, taking care of the Indianapolis Colts, who are one of 5 teams yesterday with 5 or more wins in Week 9 to lose. The Bills feast on Russ's cooking.
Wow, must have been delicious.
They beat the crap out of the Seattle defense and then shoved Russ Wilson around in a manner I'm not used to seeing. Same with Seattle. After that game, Pete Carroll's like, hey, I don't know what the hell that was. I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially said that. Josh Allen accounting for 4 touchdowns and 400 yards. Stephon Diggs doing what the Bills wanted him to do when they sent a number one pick to Minnesota for him. And the Bills stay in first place in the AFC East. But guess who's on their heels? The Miami Dolphins. Tua versus Kyler Murray. 2 things that were an absolute outrage about that game. 1, Zane Gonzalez, can you give us overtime?
Right.
Please. Can you give me overtime? And there were some questionable moments. Now, maybe, I guess Cliff Kingsbury was a little concerned that he might not hit that field goal. He goes for it on 4th down. They don't make it. 3rd and 1 that led to the Gonzalez attempt was some weird, Kyler running to the short side of the field and trying to find somebody. It was weird. Just weird stuff led to a weird kick and denied us overtime in a dynamite game. That the second outrageous thing about it is we won't see this matchup for another 4 years. Because they play in different conferences. What a performance by Tua. Looked nothing like the kid that could barely give you 100 yards of passing against the Rams. Obviously a different defense. But he was terrific. And the Dolphins have won 4 in a row for the first time in 4 years. They are 5-3. And that was fun to watch, man. That was an absolute blast to watch. The Dolphins are now the 7th seed in Arizona with the loss. They had a chance to be the first place in the NFC West because Seattle lost. Instead, they are not. The Chargers invent a new way to lose, which is something that's quite amazing for them. Looked like they had the win. Touchdown, and then ball was not caught. After further review, they lose. The Raiders are 5-3. The Falcons are now 3-1 under Raheem Morris. The G-Men win in Washington, D.C. because Alex Smith gets in there and bless his heart. Is that the phrase they use? Throws 3 interceptions. The Texans barely crash on the Jaguars' Luton. Well, I know it's Luton, but he finds DJ Chark for touchdown right off the bat, and boom, the Texans and Jaguars start hitting each other in the mouth, and the Jaguars can't convert a 2-point conversion to force overtime. And the Vikings let Dalvin Cook again.
Not dead yet.
They are not. They are just 2 games out of the playoffs, and the Browns and the Colts now in the AFC are sniffing it. So the Saints beat the Bucks, who beat the Packers, who beat the Saints, who lost to the Raiders, who beat the Bills, who also lost to the Chiefs, who barely could beat Carolina.
My mind's spinning right now.
But the Bills beat the Seahawks.
Right.
Who have beaten everybody else but the Bills and the Cardinals, who lost to the Dolphins, who have won 4 in a row and are on the heels of the Bills. I don't know who the hell's the best team in the NFL. The Saints sure looked like it last night. The Steelers are 8-0. And again, they could easily be 5-3 if Gostkowski kicks the field goal and Lamar connects in the end zone. And Garrett Gilbert, I guess, just like his dad, he needed the band to come on the field, you know, to try and get that thing through.
Nice.
I have no idea.
You are what your record is.
I get it. You are what your record is. And you call me at 844-204-RICH. You tell me why your team's the best in the NFL. And the Steelers are perfect. And their next two are against, shall we say, winnable opponents. Because Pittsburgh, as we know, had its bye week pushed into week four. They're playing every week from here on out. Their next two, how about this, against Joey Burrow in Cincinnati, and then they're at Jacksonville before the Thursday night home game to wrap up Thanksgiving Thursday night against the Ravens, who beat the Colts, who take on the Titans, who just had that bounce back game against the Bears, who are still pulling teeth on offense. Oh, my God. This team can't score for three quarters and then gives the Bears fans a little bit of hope, and then that's the end of that. I mean, my gosh. The Packers kicked this week off against a 49ers team that was playing with one leg in a cast.
All of us at wide receiver.
Right? I mean, so you tell me. Saints look great. They do. And that was a huge win last night. Huge, because they sweep the season series from the Bucs, who now must finish with a better record than New Orleans, which takes that tiebreak, that feather in its cap in this clear two-team NFC South race, takes that feather in its cap, tiebreak in its back pocket all the way through the rest of the season, which for them, based on the way they looked last night, where everybody got in on the act, sure could end up in that building. First Sunday in February, which, knock on wood, if you're with me, is exactly when we'll play that
game.
Let's
go.
Do you have a poll question all teed up? I know you were talking about it earlier in the show.
Yeah, well, you've been talking about who's the best team. Let's just get right to it. Who's the best team in the NFL? Steelers. Chiefs.
Yes.
Bills. Got to put them in there. The 7-2. Saints. At Rich Eisen Show, vote right now.
So you took the four best records?
Four best records and the best team from last night.
Left the Packers and Seahawks out. Left the Packers out. I don't know, brother. I really like Green Bay.
Well, Green Bay, call us. Make your case.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. At Rich Eisen Show is where you get that. Peter King's going to be first up. He spoke to both Breeze and Peyton as they were leaving Raymond James last night. Cam Jordan, part of that Saints defense that took the Saints right out. He's going to be joining us after Peter King. So it's Peter King and Cam Jordan for the rest of this hour. Mike Tirico and you, hour two, and the rest of this show here on this busy Monday. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Busy guy, as always. He called Clemson and Notre Dame. Notre Dame's big win in overtime against Clemson. He will be joining us in the middle of the second hour. He was also Sunday Night Football host, as always, prior to the Saints boat racing of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cam Jordan, part of said boat race, will be joining us in about 20 minutes time. And just a few seconds when our radio audience rejoins us, we'll chat with Peter King. His Football Morning in America column, as always, must read. And that's how we're rolling today.
Love it.
That's how we are rolling today. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We chose the teams with the four best records in the NFL and asked you, who's the best team in the NFL? And I'm sure you all think maybe we missed your best team, even though you don't have the best record. That's still to come. We just got started here on this very busy Monday. We are back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back here on our radio networks. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is how you can follow along with us. And if you miss any part of our show, you can catch it right here on Peacock as well. NBC Sports on Peacock. And joining me here, my colleague, I guess, from NBC Sports. I'm part of the NBC Sports family. I'll be happy to say that. We've got Peter King back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, PK?
Everything's going well, Rich. How about you?
What the hell was that last night? What was that?
That's the strangest result of this season, easily. But I think the oddest part was, in my opinion, if Tom Brady gets pressured like that, they don't have a chance. So, you know, you've got to ask Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, they're the coaching staff about their protection for Brady and how that's going to get fixed. If that doesn't get fixed, the Bucs will be one and out in the one and done, whatever the cliche is, in the playoffs. But I think the other part of it that was very odd to me was, I wrote a little bit about this today. Okay, so on Breeze's last touchdown pass, okay, to Hill, the tight end. Did you see what Levante David did in the end zone on that play? It's like he had no idea where he was, and he was asking for help, and he was motioning with his hands. And then when the ball was snapped, he barely covered the tight end. It was just that's one of the strangest plays of the day. And that's supposed to be a top 3 to 5 defense in the league. It was, I don't know what to make of that, but there's not a game in the NFL this season that sets off alarm bells more for a team. And I include the Packers' loss at Tampa. This was the most alarming game. And honestly, Rich, you know, look, the Saints were fantastic. Okay. Utterly fantastic. But that's what the Saints do. They play 1,000 guys on offense. You have no idea how many guys they're shuffling in and out of the lineup. 11 different guys catching a pass in the first 20 minutes of the game. And before you know it, it's 21-0. That's the Saints. Now, they can't always do that, but that's the Saints at their peak. So that really didn't shock me, to be honest. What shocked me is the deficiencies on the offensive line of Tampa and on defense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Breeze last night was kind of asked the same question I asked you, like, what happened there? And Breeze's response was something similar to the fact, like, I don't know, they had all their guys too. And he got all his guys back, and he got the, you know, arguably the best receiver in the league back last night. I mean, what a difference maker, and just in terms of coverage needing to respect him. Nobody goes over the middle like him on that roster. And presents a target for Drew Brees quite like that. And then that's what opens everything else up, whether it's Taysom Hill or Adam Troutman, you know. I mean, that's – yeah. And then you got a master at the controls in a headset on the sideline and in a helmet on the field. I mean, that's what makes this team so difficult, Peter.
You know, I wrote about the Adam Troutman touchdown in my column today, and that – the reason I wrote about it is that – when the play happened, I looked at who was on the field for New Orleans. Okay, now, left to right, okay, Michael Thomas was wide receiver split left. In the left slot was Jared Cook, you know, the big tight end.
Yes.
And then you had Adam Troutman, the rookie tight end from University of Dayton, tight to the formation on the right. And then they had their fullback, okay, Mike Burton, split out wide right. So the wide receivers were Michael Thomas and Mike Burton, who I don't even think Mike Burton is a household name in his own household. and he's this short, kind of chunky guy, and he's out there at wide receiver. So everybody You know why Sean Payton does that? Because now everybody thinks that he's going to pick either Jared Cook, you know, to the left, or he's going to play throw a fade to Michael Thomas. So what does he do? He locks his eyes onto Jared Cook, and then at the last moment, just quickly swivels back to the inside, and he hits Adam Trautman in the end zone for a touchdown. And again, it's so obvious. You think, well, you know, no one would ever expect us to go to Adam Trautman or Mike Burton. And then that's where they go. And I don't know. To me, I just think Sean Payton in so many ways is playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. He's such a smart, not only play designer and play caller, but people utilizer. You know, that's what really makes him good.
And people motivator, because Mike Burton is also the name of the first guy in Jameis Winston's career who he hit with a pass that didn't play for the Buccaneers to Jameis's benefit. He's the only guy that Winston connected with last night when he came on.
Yeah.
And he came on, and you know, like, what that meant for Jameis. And you know, again, at some point, you know, at some point, Breeze would have to be taken out of the game. Yeah. But, you know, Jameis is eating W's and getting into Breeze's post-game chat. It was all just as good in that hood as possible. Do you think this is indicative of the next half of this season, Peter?
You know, through football history, especially with teams that you think, man, that's uncharacteristic. You know what, Rich? It usually is. You know, so I would be surprised if Tampa going forward, you know, basically is as bad. They'll figure a way to go to Carolina and play better. Now, to me, as I said in my column today, I mean, going to Carolina, that's, it's a weird thing to say, but that's going to be a Herculean task to beat the Panthers. You know, if Christian McCaffrey's in the game, we don't know now if he is with that added shoulder injury from yesterday, but the Carolina Panthers are a load. And my feeling is, look, I got a lot of guys who I'm going to put on my coach of the year list. You know, Mike Tomlin, Brian Flores are probably right at the top in some order. But I'll tell you one thing. Matt Rhule is going to be up there. How in the world, when you totally rebuild your organization, do you go to Kansas City with that offense playing as well, almost as well as you've ever seen it? I was so impressed with not just the effort. Everybody says, oh, great effort by Matt Rhule. They've built a good team, Rich. You know, and a lot of those guys are there for the first time. I mean, don't you think Joe Douglas is sick watching Robbie Anderson play the way he is? He's a number one receiver, and they got him for $10 million a year. You know, the Jets could have had him a long time ago for $10 million a year. And it's just, I mean, that is smart organization with a good guy running it.
Don't get me started, because I got to watch a Jets game tonight and then talk about it tomorrow here on the Rich Eisen Show. Peter King here.
Hey, they might win that game. You never know.
Hey, look.
It's
weird
year.
This was, as I started the show, Peter, by saying that the Any Given Sunday yesterday was one of those given Sundays based on everything else that we saw. What can you take out of yesterday that you think is, again, indicative of the second half of the season? I'm still waiting for somebody, and I know Steelers fans might be like, hey, we're 8-0 for the first time ever, to separate here. Maybe the Saints did last night. Anything. And I would even include Tua as well. The Dolphins have won 4 in a row for the first time in 4 years. The Bills appear to have gotten their ship straightened out a little bit, while Seattle's defense really got beat up yesterday. And for the first time all year, the offense wasn't able to counter. So what about yesterday do you think can be indicative over the next 8 weeks?
Yeah, well, you know, the Dolphins, to me, are a legitimate, very serious threat to Buffalo at the top of the division. Not only have they won four in a row, but they won them by 26, 24, 11, and yesterday a tough, tough road game at Arizona with the miracle man Kyler Murray, and they win that, you know, only by three. But you're right. I think the three headlines of yesterday, in my opinion, okay, number one, the Miami Dolphins are making the playoffs. I don't know if they're winning the division or whatever. The Miami Dolphins are going to make the playoffs. That's number one. Number two, I think the Minnesota Vikings are not dead. Okay, I think they're definitely on life support because, you know, at 3-5, you need a lot of things to go right. But what they have figured the last 2 weeks is let's give Dalvin Cook 30 touches a week, and let's limit Kirk Cousins to 20 passes a week. And look, they can, however you want to phrase it, whatever you want to say, that is a better offense when it's in the hands of Dalvin Cook. And quite honestly, Alexander Mattison, who is Dalvin Cook Jr. I mean, I think he's one of the two, three, whatever best backup running backs in football. And my third observation would be, we are living in a time of the next truly great player who, and again, look, you have no idea what the future holds. But as I wrote my column this morning, you know, Patrick Mahomes, at the age he is this morning, has 101 touchdown passes. Drew Brees, at that same age, had 29, and Tom Brady had 27. And so we have to acknowledge right now that we could be watching really a Michael Jordan-type player, and it's amazing how good he is, and he's just basically in his NFL infancy.
Well, again, the I guess, best testament to Mahomes' remarkable talent and success and efficiency and I guess what other word can you possibly use other than intense love that people have for him? The best measure of it, Peter, is that we have already at age 25 reached the part of his career where why give him the MVP? I mean, why, you know what I mean? Like we've already reached that point of the why give Belichick coach of the year? Why would we give Phil Jackson coach of the year? I mean, the guy, it's already stipulated he's most valuable. So let's spread it around. And the kid's only 25, Peter. I mean, he is the MVP of the league.
Know, the MVP is, you know, Rich, the MVP is so weird because, you know, if we had been talking 24 hours ago, I would have said to me, there's some great candidates. But I mean, Russell Wilson, I believe, has done the most with a supporting cast that's good, but not great. When I say supporting cast, I mean 53 men on his roster.
Right.
You know, I have great appreciation for those offensive weapons. I think they're fantastic. But I also think that it's not far and away the best team in football. They might be the best team in football, but you know, I just think that Russell Wilson is doing an awful lot with the people who he's working with. But then, so in 1 3-hour period, it all flips. And that's why, to me, whenever we do the MVP, which, as I've railed against for years, I think it's a mistake that we only get to vote for one person for MVP. It's wrong because baseball does it so much better where you vote on a sliding scale so that you could say, let's just say for the sake of argument, at the end that Russell Wilson trimmed Patrick Mahomes and Ben Roethlisberger or whoever for the MVP award. You won't have any idea who he trimmed because there's only one vote. I'm not crazy about it. But the thing that I always try to keep in mind about the MVP is that it's a 17-week award. And everybody like this morning will say, well, you got to give it to Mahomes. Maybe you do. Let's see what happens because it's a 17-week award.
No doubt. Peter King, last one for you. Ask him the poll question before we send him out the door. We've got, Cam Jordan coming up in about 4 minutes' time here on The Rich Eisen Show. Go for it, Chris.
Peter, who's the best team in the NFL? Steelers, Chiefs, Bills, Saints.
At this moment, I will say the Steelers because I trust their defense more than I trust Kansas City's defense. And I think they can score enough to beat Kansas City. But it won't surprise me if my answer in 2 weeks is Kansas City. I think they're both terrific. And I think those two teams right now, at least today, if I see one or two more of those games by New Orleans, well, New Orleans is going to go in there in that category. And to me, the one other thing I would say, you have Buffalo in there. Look, Buffalo's won three in a row, but only one of them is against a really good team in Seattle. And, you know, I've got not vivid, but it's not that far gone that Tennessee and Kansas City both handle them, and that the first month Josh Allen devolved into 2018 Josh Allen. Well, yesterday Josh Allen was back to being September Josh. You know, so let's see where he is when they go to Arizona on Sunday.
That's right. That's a big game, Arizona on Sunday, and Miami's next games at Denver, the Chargers, the Jets, and Joe Burrow before Kansas City. I mean, it's just going to be the 2-0 train has left the station, and it's going to be must-see every single week. And I know you chose Miami to win.
It was so fun to watch yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, him versus Rich, Kyler Murray.
Rich, the last thing I'll say, because I know you got to go, but – you know, my first reaction when I was watching that game and flipping back and forth between that and Pittsburgh-Dallas, which was really a fun game too, my first thought was, are you serious that we will not see Tua versus Kyler Murray again
4 years
until the 2024 presidential campaign is hot and heavy? It's insane. How in the world can the NFL give us Tua versus Kyler Murray once every 4 years? That's got to change. This 17th game, Rich, you have your ball fumbled out of the back of the end zone is the thing that has to be fixed about the NFL.
Yes.
My thing that has to be fixed, that 17th game starting next year has to be in Howard Katz's lap. And Howard Katz, every March, has to look at great matchups that we could find for that 17th game. And I will take Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa every other year.
Oh my gosh!
And in honor of one other thing, I'll take Tua for 200, Alex.
That's right. Yes. Who is Peter King, and what is Football Morning in America? Must read stuff. Thanks again for the call, Peter.
All the best, Rich. You take care.
You got it. That's Peter King, making a reference to Alex Trebek, who passed away at the age of 80. I had a moment on NFL game day morning yesterday.
Yeah, that was great.
Found out during a commercial break. It really hit me hard, and I'm sure it hit so many people hard. Let's take a break. Want to make sure that I'm on time for this man, Cameron Jordan of the New Orleans Saints, when we come back here on Peacock. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Your phone call's coming up as well.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
The great Cameron Jordan will be joining us shortly here from the New Orleans Saints. Also, the co-host of the Trust Levels podcast that he does with Mark Ingram. And I saw he had Lamar Jackson on. And, you know, I'm a quarterback who's known for speed.
You're a quarterback?
Known for speed, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm a quarterback of this show, right?
Oh, okay.
Quarterback of NFL Game Day Morning.
All right.
A quarterback in my own...
Got it.
Level of trust.
Got it.
You know what I mean? Still nothing. Well, I love talking crap to people who are sitting on hold while I keep them on hold until the radio audience returns. How much time to our radio audience returns, Mike Del Tufo?
About 20.
Very good. So 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got so many people wanting to chime in on what's going on here. 844-204-RICH. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show, to our radio audience, and also to one of our favorite guests over the last 6 years of this program, from the New Orleans Saints, fresh off of the boat racing and beatdown of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their pirate ship, Cameron Jordan. How are you, Cam?
I'm great. Yes. You know, it's a victory Monday, but we've already finished dissecting our film, and
come on,
you know, we're already headed on to the next game, which is the Niners.
Now, hold on a second. When did you land? When did you get back into New Orleans?
That is a great question. I think we landed somewhere around 2 this morning.
Okay.
And then, you know, drive home. So I think I walked through the door about 2:20.
Yep.
And then, you know, you still got your energy high. You've got all that adrenaline still pumping through the veins. So I think we went to bed about 3:45, 4.
Then you get to work? What time did you get to work?
8:15.
Okay.
I might have been a little late this morning.
And you've already reviewed the film of last night. That's already been done.
Oh, yeah. Me and the D-line, we took that down, you know. Because of COVID, I don't think we're allowed to meet as a team or something along the lines, which is cool.
Right.
We still got to break down this film. You know, we still got to get better. Ricky still got to pick up breakfast. You know, this tradition still has to continue.
Well, before we turn the page, we have yet to turn the page as a show and a national media. Let's discuss like what were you able to do last night that you are most proud of as a unit, Cam?
Get pressure on Tom Brady from the first snap, you know, where I was trying to get a good hit on the ball. We all know Tom releases the ball as fast as they come. To, you know, the last couple of plays where you saw Trey Henderson go a sack. And then, you know, the sack was taken away by a penalty, too. I thought me and him split a sack, to him getting another sack, all in the series, to, you know, Malcolm Brown getting a sack on his old quarterback coming from the Patriots. And, you know, it was just one of those things where David Onyemata seemed like he had 12 pressures last night. I thought we did a phenomenal job of really getting after the quarterback. Shout out to the D-line. And you talk about the, you know, DBs coming up. Oh, David Onyemata interception from, you know, Marcus Davenport batted ball to tipped the ball to the whole D-line had a hand in the play.
Now, it looked like to me that looked like a volleyball play. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it was
–
yes, it did. It really did. That, and then, you know, obviously – you guys as a unit were able to put it over the net. And so how repeatable is this, Cameron? Like, how good is that the best we've seen, or you said you can get better? How repeatable is this, Cameron?
I mean, in my mind, you know, I'd like to say this is the new standard. Realistically, you know, we always just strive to be 1% better every day. You know, you can't go into a game knowing that they're only going to run the ball 5 times for, what, 8 yards, 9 yards?
8.
That's somebody's going to have to run, you know, the idea of a game plan, they're going to run more than that normally, especially when you go against talented teams like the Bucs are, you know, with all the weapons that they have. I think we just played a hell of a game last night. So I'd love for it to be the new norm, though. If it becomes a sack party and you know, and the DBs come up with the interceptions like they did, I'll take it every time.
I mean, Cameron Jordan here on the Rich Eisen Show, 5-time Pro Bowler after, as I said, boat racing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. walk me into the locker room afterwards. The satisfaction level was what? What was that scene like? Walk me in there from last night.
It was a party. It was, winning. Anytime you win, it doesn't matter how they come. When that W goes up in the column, it's something that you've worked hard all week for, something that you worked all off season for. The name of the game is winning. And when you're winning, you know, things are good. And you have to put that in perspective. I mean, was it great to see Sean dancing? Absolutely. Was it great to see Jameis eating a dub? I don't know. But was it a phenomenal feeling being part of the team and winning? That's a feeling that you can't get over.
Well, you know, the famed eating a W, if I'm not mistaken, took place in the Superdome many years ago, and now he's doing it in celebration of what happened against his former team. So even now, it's still something that needs a little bit of an arm twist for you to say is fine and cool. So did I just pick that up, Cameron?
You got to embrace situations. Yes, I would give you that.
Okay, so it's, you know, it's something that you still need, I guess, a little bit more mustard on that, or less mustard, essentially, is what you're saying.
You know, you can't hide from it. You have to embrace it if you're Jameis. You know, and as a teammate, I do nothing but support, you know, my brother in arms. So if my guy eats a dub, I say he ate a dub.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, I would love to if he eats a dub every week and we're winning every week. Let's go.
All right.
I'll watch him eat his plate.
Well, we saw the return of Michael Thomas last night, but you also are getting guys on your side of the ball back as well. What does Marcus Davenport's return mean for you? And you mentioned Trey Hendrickson, who's playing his head off lately. What about that and how you can use it moving forward?
Ken. Man, I mean, Marcus really has some great pressures from the interior. I mean, when you talk about three defensive ends being on the field, I mean, nobody's going to be more excited about that than myself. And then, of course, you know, you talk about Marcus coming back and playing to run well. Then on third down, he slid down into the interior and created some havoc along with David Onyemata. And, of course, like you just said, Trey Henderson is playing out of his mind right now. If I'm going to catch a double, you catch a single, win your singles. You got to win your singles. And even last night when I was catching singles, It was a race to the quarterback, and that's what you love to see.
And obviously, you know, we know about GOAT and GOAT conversation, Brady and Breeze and all that stuff. You taking Brady out on behalf of your team, obviously, is significant. But what about on behalf of Breeze?
You know, nothing's going to tell me that, you know, Drew Breeze isn't the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, you talk about, you know, have, you know, him and Tom Brady fighting for the records of most touchdowns. You talk about, you know, Drew clearly having more yards in his career. You talk about how many 5,000-yard seasons he's put together. You could also, you know, his 5,000-yard seasons. You talk about, you know, Brady and his six championship rings. That's undisputable there. So if you talk about stats and what goes through, Drew's the GOAT. If you talk about, you know, most championships winning, Tom Brady's the GOAT. So you have the argument for 1 and 2. I'm going to stick to my Drew being number one.
And Thomas being back means what?
Oh, man. I mean, Mike T?
Yep.
He's special. Anytime you touch the field, and not only did we get Mike T back, you got Emmanuel Sanders back.
Yes, you
and
did.
You just saw, you saw Drew with more weapons. It's a beautiful thing.
Are you the best team in the NFL?
I mean, what do you expect me to say here, Rich? Week in, week out, we're striving to be as best as we can be. I will say we are trending upwards. I've always considered myself and our team to be the best that we can be. So I'll leave the media to label however they will. We're just going to keep on working and go for this next W.
Well, I'll tell you, Cameron, I mean, I like to take it one segment at a time and hope for the best. I like to feel like I'm bringing my A game to the microphone every single day, and I know there's amazing shows on this very channel as well, following Dan Patrick's show every single day. But I'll say I've got the best show on television.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Right?
So, you know, like, what do you want me to say if I'm asked, do you have the best show on television? Yeah, I do.
Are you supposed to say anything less? You're always supposed to think that
you know, whatever you're doing, you're putting your best foot forward.
Right. And I could say, you know what, they have a great segment here. They have a great team there. They've got a great host there. Dan's got Marconi's, probably plural, but, you know, I'll still throw my marker down. You know what I mean?
Hey, versus anyone, I love us. If you like it, I love it.
Okay. No, I heard you on.
I still love it.
Do you tell Dan the same thing when you're on his show?
Absolutely. If he asks us, things are the best thing, 100%.
I'm testing your trust level right now, Cameron. That's what I'm doing. I'm just
big trust.
I'm trying to find who's on your podcast next. What are you doing?
You know, with me and Mark, we've got a couple guys. I think we're supposed to settle on who we're releasing this week today. So I will know in the next hour. You know, we've got star-studded cast. We still got some heavy hitters that we can release. You know, between me and Mark, we seem to know a few guys across the league.
I noticed you had Lamar. So so these are in the can, or you're doing them during the week at all, or no? You did this before the season, and you're releasing them once a week. Is that what it is, or what do you got?
We recorded most of them preseason,
right.
So it wouldn't tangle with football.
Right.
And then during bye week, we're gonna knock one out.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens postseason. You know, if we get a week, we're gonna turn some episodes.
Well, right now you're in the one seed, and there's only one bye week, so that would be very good for you. Congrats on that W last night. I guess eating it. What's tougher, to achieve what you did last night, or to go home to your kids on short rest and them not caring and you having to be present for them? Cameron?
Oh yeah, my son was definitely up at 6 o'clock this morning. I just heard footsteps, you know. But with COVID, I sort of now use extra cautions. You know, I sleep in a completely different room. Like,
no,
everybody sleeps
kidding.
Upstairs, I sleep downstairs. You know, just try to protect the family until I get a point of care test the next day. So once I get that, I come back home, and now it's pure dad time. But they're up regardless.
Keep doing that, Cameron. Stay healthy, and keep doing what you're doing. It's always great chatting with you. Thanks for the call after such a big W, and lack of rest, and all the COVID and all the craziness. I really appreciate you taking the time. Always.
Always appreciate you for having me. Like I said, I feel like I'm part of the crew.
You are, Cameron Jordan. You absolutely are. Let's give him a round of applause. Just make sure he's totally understanding that. Take care of yourself. You be well.
Absolutely.
We'll chat soon.
Peace, Rich.
Okay, that's Cameron Jordan, everybody. One of our favorites.
Can we start photoshopping him in the pictures with us?
We could. We got to photoshop you in the picture first. We got to get you first.
Well, the picture's been sent in. So
okay, it has.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's out of my hands.
I've been pounding the table to get you on that YouTube banner for weeks.
I'm like a car dealer in Vegas now.
Cool.
Is that it? What does that mean?
I don't know.
So I'm done.
What was it?
Means I'm done.
He's done.
He
sold it.
I don't know.
Come on, you guys.
These gamblers are acting like they don't know what I'm talking about.
And we don't even gamble.
Brockman is a gambler.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to guess, he truly did not know what the hell you just said.
I had no idea.
You know why? Because he wasn't paying attention. That's why.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Don't worry. Today's going to, if you think today's gone bad for you so far, it's all good for you tonight. Right around 8:20 Eastern, when that toe meets full. Stop it.
Don't think so.
Stop it.
Why are the Pats a 10-point favorite in this game?
Because they're going to win by 10 points.
They have
points.
Shown nothing that should put them at that number.
Why?
Nothing.
Okay.
Look who they're playing.
They're terrible. They're not a good football team.
Let me help you out here. And this is not me reverse jinxing anything. I'm not, you know how I feel, okay? Chris, do you have a rocking chair in your house? You must. You with your beautiful baby boy.
I've got a recliner.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever that is, sit in it and enjoy. Again, this game last year, guys saw ghosts, all right?
And that now, guy's not playing.
And now I see dead people.
You got a Super Bowl winning quarterback tonight. Yeah.
Just like the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Flacco elite days are kind of over. Enjoy tonight, Chris. Because
okay.
When it all comes down to
this is a one-score game with four minutes left.
I will take that phone call from you tonight.
Okay.
When it all comes down to it, the hoodie, this is a blood sport game for him still. Okay?
Okay.
Don't you worry.
I have
Sit
no
in that
faith.
Rocking chair. Your phone call is Mike Tirico, hour two. All right, we're still here on Peacock.
I have no faith tonight.
Why?
Because they stink.
No, they don't.
I mean, come on.
Chris, last week was a really good performance by your team. That Buffalo Bills team, you could say, well, they were down, they were out, all this business. Look what expected it, and it was in Cam's hands.
The game was won.
It was won.
Yeah,
well, no, it was tied.
The
game was tied. The game was tied. It was possibly ready to be won. This is a winless Jets team, bro.
Rich wants them to lose also. I mean, the Jets. I mean,
with no desire
going
to win.
They're still professionals. I'm very well aware of that.
Chris, enjoy tonight, Chris.
It's going to be a close game.
If you had to put $20 down on it,
I'm taking Jets plus 10.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not a bad bet, though.
Can I do you a favor? Don't do that.
It's not a bad bet.
Don't do that. The Jets have one game this year when they've been within one possession.
They got to win.
They're a hard 0-8.
They got to win.
They are a hard, rock hard, solid bedrock of Manhattan 0-8.
Sorry, Rich Eisen.
Hour two coming up.